love Hannah Waddingham.
I know, but it's one of those things where it's like everyone's like, I love Hannah Waddingham. And no one says why they love Hannah Waddingham.
I think I love her because she's everywhere. Super tall and she's got that blondie blonde hair.
Honestly, you're giving off Hitler vibes. You're like, these are the things. Hello and welcome to episode number 511 of the podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The Popcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things that entertain but do not matter.
To find out more about these honorific pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Popcast, and we're on Twitter at PopcastPod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be awarding the best of the half year.
But before we do that, you guys, it's officially summer. And this is the summer of 10 years of the podcast. There are lots of ways to celebrate our 10th birthday. First, you can follow us on Instagram or Twitter, where starting this week, we are taking you back through the chaos that was 2013, 2014 in the life of the podcast. We're doing fun giveaways all summer long. Second, you can snag some 10 years of the podcast merch. We have t-shirt, we have an embroidered sweatshirt, we have an enamel pin pack. These are available for pre-order through July 7th. And you can also just come see us in Austin, Texas on September 2nd or in Atlanta, Georgia on September 30th. If you can't make it in person, snag our live stream option for the Austin show. For merch, live show tickets, or live stream tickets, head to knoxandjamie.com/live or click the link in the show notes.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, Jamie, it's time to talk the best of the half year so far. This has been an episode 3, 4, 5 maybe years in the making.
God, it's been on the way. I would say this had been on the whiteboard as long as boats and pop culture, and we've actually done boats and pop culture.
That's right. It was just, you know, watching The Office during the pandemic like everybody else did, and you see the Dundies.
Yeah.
And it's like, just talk about stuff that's happened this year and slap ease on it. And like, that's content. Like, it's just, it feels like a no-brainer. So I'm glad that we're finally doing it.
Yeah, if Greg Daniels can do it, why can't we do it?
Exactly right. Exactly right. So we've got some superlatives we're going to work through here at the front of the episode. And then we're very excited to get to the People's Choice Awards, because we did, you know, we wanted a democratic element. I do feel like we fashion ourselves as podcasting dictators, but we do like to hear from the people from time to time. So we'll do that in the second half of the episode. So before we get there, do you want to just like kick us off and go ahead and talk about maybe who you think won the half year?
Okay, so the podcasty of who won the half year so far in 2023. The half year of our Lord 2023 belongs to Daddy Pedro Pascal. Hello, my lover. Listen, think about all the ways that we have embraced him. The Last of Us star, he stars as Joel. It was revealed this month by Craig Mazin that Matthew McConaughey was going to play that role. And you know what our reply was? No, they made the right choice. We love him.
Okay, but did they? Like, I'm not saying they did.
No.
But I'm saying it's worth a conversation.
It maybe is, but not right now. Okay, then He went viral as a meme eating a tiny sandwich. That's not logical. But guess what? Now, hot men eat tiny sandwiches. That's what we're on board with. He finally revealed he's not in the Mandalorian suit, which was disappointing because I had really been rooting that he was in that suit the whole time. But he did.
Okay. Rooting is curious language. I think you'd been believing in the Tooth Fairy level fallacy that he is on set behind a mask, not faceless or not faceable for the whole entirety of the show.
I just wanted to think of him as like a hard worker, and then he was there. And I love that Kieran Culkin is who called him out sitting at a table, and we're like, are you even in that suit? Listen, Kieran Culkin doing interviews with other actors, he debauches their entire life. Him and guys, if you want to watch a train wreck, him and Claire Danes doing the variety actor on actor, he humiliates her 17 times just for the way she talks and the words she uses. It's excellent. But listen, even though he was not in the suit, we were like, you know what? The voice is the best part. We don't even care about the body. Like, we don't care. The Mandalorian's all up in his mouth. That's what matters. Mm-hmm. Okay. He was named one of Time's 100 most influential people next to Beyonce and Lionel Messi. And guess what? We were mad he wasn't higher on the list. We were like, why are country leaders higher than him on the list? This doesn't feel better. He also gifted us with Saba Saba Sama Sama. Sounds like Spanish Tama. Yeah. And look, we were like, he's a comedic genius. Why should he star in everything comedy? And then finally, this man wore shorts to the Met Gala. And we were like, he made it work. He made it work. So congratulations to Daddy Pedro Pascal, who won my Popcastie for the half year.
As a longtime shorts truther and enthusiast out there, I was so happy to see Pedro Pascal repping for the city.
He did look, his knees were sexy. I will give him that. His knees were sexy. And he wasn't wearing them with a pair of flip-flops. So kudos to that. No flip-flops. Proud of him.
It's a great combo. My only concern here, if I were to concern troll for a second, I would say, you know, if I spun zone this a little bit, I'd be like, is Pedro Pascal too hot? Is it too much right now? Are we set up for a fall now because of all the success?
Well, I did see the trailer for the new movie he's in, the Margot Qualley, Ethan Coen. Is it Ethan that's doing
it? Yes, that's right. The singular what's the singular of Coen? Just Coen, probably?
Coen.
You're going the wrong way.
So the Coen I that is written this like road trip movie, which by the way, I love the trailer because Margot Qualley is a really chaotic southerner. She's on a road trip to Tallahassee, and her name is Jamie. I am on board with that. Like, that felt very – but suddenly Pedro Pascal makes an appearance in the trailer, and I was like, but he's just like a little snapshot. He is not the lead, which I do think is smart. Don't always be the lead. Sometimes be, you know, be a character
actor. Be on
the
periphery.
Yeah.
I've never met anybody in the South who's like, I'm going to Tallahassee. I've met people who are like, I'm passing through Tallahassee. I will see Tallahassee, or there's a football game in Tallahassee.
But, like, people who work at the legislature or never people met who go Don't to know FSU. That they're real.
Don't know that they exist.
You think FSU is not real as a college?
I'm just saying, I'm just asking questions and doing my research.
That's fair.
Is how I'm answering that. I'd like to maybe just visit a world where Matthew McConaughey is in Last of Us and he's monologuing to mushroom zombies. I feel like that could be nice.
But
I
think the sexual tension between him and Bella would have been more. See, like with Pedro, it was very like just big brother energy. But I feel like he makes everyone around him a sexual target.
Yeah,
and
he does.
It's accidental. It's not even like he does it intentionally. He's just like, I'm this hot and this is the way I talk.
I'm like, is he about to have sex with that Lincoln Navigator? I do not know about this commercial. It's crazy.
Well, someone is aroused in that Lincoln car. I do know that.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, that's a really good one. That's a really good one, Pedro Pascal. I'm going to go thematic on my Popcastie for who won the half year of Survivors, okay? I'm thinking specifically of Damar Hamlin and Jeremy Renner, two heroes of our time who have overcome adversity and tragedy on our TV screens to show us what endurance and the passion of the human spirit looks like. We have Survivor season 44. I didn't like who won. It was a great season of television.
Okay.
That's a good survivor. Tom from Succession. That's a survivor who did pretty well for himself.
Great. Congratulations.
I think my gambling career, I started January 1st with 0.51 cents in my account. Thanks to Jalen Hurts and I being able to hold on to a football and fumbling it in the Super Bowl and giving it to the Kansas City Chiefs.
He's so pretty. He's so
very pretty. Very positive, and I love him. I love his energy, but I hate him for losing me all that money. And you know what, Jamie? I've survived, and I've thrived. I'm back into triple digits.
Uh-oh. Okay?
That's a survivor right there.
And
then lastly, the most noble, the most impressive of all, the real survivors in all this, it's the Nepo babies. You know, people came for their necks.
They're still thriving. You know what? And Hailey Bieber put on that Nepo baby shirt and she was like, F all y'all.
That's right.
I'm a survivor. I may not be in a healthy marriage, but I'm really rich. So
she's
it's
like,
fine.
I have no discernible skill, talent, or asset, but I'm still going to have more money than any of you will ever see or sniff in your 100%. Life. And that's
right.
True. That's a true thing.
That's really good. Okay. So I like that. That's a nice. I like a theme. So now we're going to move into who lost, who gets the Popcasty for losing the half year. And I'm going to push back on your survivor theme and say the people who lost were people who ignored red flags. Let's start with the top of your list. DeMar Hamlin, listen, he ignored red flags by literally playing professional football.
Wow.
And FYI, if you don't know, the NFL does not care about your physical well-being unless you die and come back to life on the field while being televised playing for the Buffalo Bills. Okay?
It's a brave, bold, strong take to blame DeMar Hamlin.
Exactly.
And to say no bad job
by play, you. Don't play professional football. Also, Jeremy Renner ignored red flags and thought, should an actor own a snowplow? No, it should not. No, he should not. Especially not an actor who I would say is not that talented.
Like, wow.
I
don't know.
Was talented in the Hurt Locker, but has gone downhill from here.
First of all, you act like the town? You act like the town doesn't exist, and that's faulty and stupid on your behalf.
Secondly, what's the name of the town? What town doesn't exist? Go ahead, real quick. What is it?
The town.
The movie?
Yeah, the movie. It's just called The Town. That's the name
Stop
of the
movie.
He's great in it as Jim. I think he won an Academy Award for that.
He
was nominated.
he
don't fact check that. Just assume it's true. I
don't
even know if he owned the snowplow. He was just saving his nephew's life. What an honorable guy. That's a hawk guy.
Listen,
move,
I'm not going to get on a John Deere tractor and be like, I was going to save you, but I couldn't drive this tractor. I'm not going to break 30 bones for you. Are you kidding? No.
Does your niece listen to the show?
Oh yeah, they all listen. They know I wouldn't go. They know I wouldn't break 30 bones for them. There's no
I just
way.
Want them to. I just want them to know. I just want them to hear.
Aaron,
that moment,
Caitlin, right? Ashlyn will not break 30 bones for you. Just know it's true. Colin, you either.
Sorry.
Zach, no. Carter, no.
It's good to be on the record about some things.
Listen, also, who ignored red flags? Twitter ignored red flags that maybe they shouldn't sell to Elon Musk. Because he's not smart or pretty, just rich. Listen, you got to have two of those. You got to have two of them. And he's not, you got to either be rich and pretty or rich and smart or smart and pretty. But when you're only one, when you're only rich, that is not enough of a resume to run a social media platform. So
but he's going to be in a cage match with the guy who owns Facebook. Isn't that cool?
Listen, don't get me started on my red light. We'll jump ahead. Okay. Also, Swifties, you're ignoring the red flags that Taylor may not care about Ticketmaster's fees or a person's racism, anti-Semitism, or sexism. Hi, she's the problem. It's her. Okay? Notice that she said, hey guys, don't be mean to John Mayer when my album comes out. Well, then why'd you write a song? Because she was like, nobody care. I don't care about what happened to me 14 years ago. Albeit I did write a song about that same guy again just 2 years ago at the Grammys because I saw him perform and it made me so mad that I wrote would have, could have, should have. And I still talk about what a garbage person he is. But guys, we only are mean to people when I tell you to be mean to them. You know, like Kanye and Kim and Scooter. Mm-hmm. Right. And then finally, I just want to say aliens lost the half year because they ignored the red flags that Earth is not in great shape and you should not come here. Like, we are not at our best. Do you know what I mean?
Like, maybe they're soft launching. Maybe they're just like, they're here, but they're like, oof, I don't know. We'll just see how it plays out. We'll just see how
like
this goes.
I don't like it. I don't like when I watch those videos from the space station and they're like, here's this blinking thing and then it just disappears into the atmosphere. What is that? What was that? I don't like it. I don't like it.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
So again, don't be a person, although you can win a Popcasty, don't ignore red flags. DeMar, stop playing football. Become something else.
My Popcasty for who lost the half year, I'm going to say Kendall Roy and Jeremy Strong. I'm going to say they win the Popcasty for who lost the half year because, you know, obviously it ended for Kendall Roy how it ended. But I think just the unification of part, actor, and execution and how it owned like the monoculture for a few months there, it's never going to happen like that again. Jeremy Strong's never going to get that. I looked at his upcoming projects on IMDb. Do you know how many projects he has coming up?
Oh, no. Is it less than three?
It's less than zero because it is zero.
No.
The number is zero. And I'm sure he's like, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to do stuff. I'm going to like, you know, find my dramaturgical truth and stuff like that. But I kind of feel bad for him because it's like, it's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
And he'll never like scale the same heights they did with Kendall Roy again.
Well, and you can only scream, I'm the eldest boy. and
tough.
Like, it's like you're and B, how people talk about him. Like when you see all the cast photos behind the scenes, he's never with them. Like he's never at the night out. It's like Sarah and Kieran and Connor.
And but it's never them, and it's also never Brian Cox. But I would buy into any situation where it's Jeremy Strong and Brian Cox together, because Brian Cox is out on these streets being like, still haven't seen the Logan Roy body. FYI, he might still be alive,
exactly.
Which is a wild
thing. He was also in a variety actor on Actor, and he was like, I guess he was with Emily Blunt, and she was like, so what did you think when you watched Succession for the first time? He's like, I've never seen that show. He was like, I did it. I was there. And she was like, yeah, but like editing. And he was like, no, don't care.
Don't like, care. Not don't interested. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Not loving it. I love Brian Cox. His energy is so good. It's so that's good. Mine. Okay. Who won your best half year newcomer?
Listen, this was hard. I do want to do an honorable mention for a podcastie, which is Edward Norton. Because I feel like Edward Norton had a comeback year. It started at the end of the very tail end, the last week of 2022, when Glass Onion, he got a lot of praise for the Glass Onion movie. And then obviously he's in Asteroid City this summer that's coming out, and it's gotten incredible reviews. It did really well at the limited box office when it opened this weekend. But listen, he also found out Pocahontas is his 12th grandmother.
I saw that. That's pretty exciting, bro.
That's pretty exciting for you to be Edward Norton. And if you can't think of what Edward Norton looks like, just say Edward Norton, and whatever white, bland, skinny man appears to you, that is what Edward Norton looks like.
Yeah.
Like he's just like boring in 53. Do you know what I mean? But like the fact that you can be like Pocahontas.
Yeah.
The actual Pocahontas was my 12th great grandmother. That's pretty exciting.
He's the quintessence of Anglo-Saxonry. And he's related to Pocahontas. And I got to say, if you're a famous white person and you're invited on one of those, want to find out who you're related to shows, you should say no. You should. I saw like Chris Walken finds out the history of his grandfather, and I didn't even look. I was like, murder, racist. It's bad. It's always bad. Don't do those
Listen,
things.
Listen, if your phone lights up and it says Henry Louis Gates Jr., send to voicemail. Do not do it. Do not do it. But that's my runner-up. But my actual podcastee for half-year newcomer goes to, of course, Camilla Rosemary Shan Parker Bowles, House of Windsor, the first of her side piece, queen of the cheaters, protector of her own interest, the mother of dragging your feet on changing your hairstyle, the Khaleesi of the great grass gummies. This is a woman who cheated on her husband with a man who was cheating on his wife, who told her at the peak of his romantic powers that he wished he could be her tampon. And now that B word is queen. Listen, the 50-year-long con paid off. Congrats to you. Congrats to you that people actually call you queen. You tricked them all, didn't you? I'm so proud of her.
You know, mine's similarly of royal blood. You know, my best half-year newcomer, podcasty winner, and that is Chinese Spy Balloon. Chinese Spy Balloon.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's here in June. That. You say that, and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But you don't. You don't. You don't remember how it absolutely captured the imagination of the country for several days. And I don't know that we ever got the definitive, here's what's up here. There's a good plain English episode by Derek Thompson that kind of definitively-ish explained what it was. But I think it followed the boy band template of takes the country by storm, gets everyone's attention despite us not really understanding like what it is, what its intentions are, or what it's supposed to mean. And I think it still kind of exists in our recent history memory of something that was pretty formidable, because I went to Google and I was just like, what are people out in the Google streets? What are they saying about the Chinese spy balloon? You know? And the first one is, why would China send a spy balloon? Why would China do that?
Why is that?
Why would China do such a thing?
What do people think China is? Do you think they don't understand China?
I don't know.
Place?
I don't know.
Listen,
it says, how does spy balloon work? Like, there's these really fundamental questions that I feel like we should know, but we don't know about Chinese spy balloons.
I don't understand. Chinese spy balloons, Chinese, bad. Spy, bad.
Okay.
Balloon, bad. Across the board. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In terms of American economy and livelihood. Listen, you can't be Team China. You can't be the person who puts an Adolf Hitler quote in your invitation to your Moms of Liberty event and think people aren't going to be like, hey, boo, what? Or the guy from Liberty University who went on a camera and was like, you know what Mao and Hitler got right? Controlling education. And so that's what we've got to do. Guys.
I think quoting dictators in general, even like in jest or even in like, isn't this a bad idea? Maybe just don't do that. That's
maybe
strange.
Maybe just don't.
Real L to our Chinese listeners out there who are like, did we do? Why does Jamie hate us right
First
now?
First of all, we're not even allowed in China. Like, they won't let us
you
be
don't
there.
Know that.
But if you're
you
Chinese American or a Chinese Canadian or anything, like, we love you, but you also know you got out. You're like, I didn't stay there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know about Chinese spy balloons. So
yeah,
I feel like it really captured the half year. So I feel really good about these podcasts that we've doled out.
Oh my gosh, we've done a great job. Like, who needs an Oscars panel? It's us. We know what
we're
doing.
I think we nailed it. Okay, so those were our individual podcasts we wanted to give out. Now it's time to hear from the people. We obviously reached out to our subscribers to our newsletter to air their opinions, given some multiple choice questions on what they thought. And the people responded in droves, Jamie. We got so much feedback on these questions.
We really did. And actually, our listeners are very funny. Like, they're very smart. They're very funny, even though sometimes they don't know what things are and they have bad taste and stuff. But otherwise, we have a good time with them always.
That's right. So first category up, we asked them about what was a bad movie that they loved. The nominees were Ghosted, Your Place or Mine, and then Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Of those three, which one would it be for you? It's a real horse race with Ghosted and Your Place
or Mine. I didn't love all of those, but... And I watched all of them. But I would say probably the one I loved the most was Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Because I got, you know, Jonathan Majors before things went weird, you know?
Yeah. You got Corey Stoll being that weird guy them calling him the D word in a Marvel movie.
That's exactly. I love it. So that would be which would you choose? I know you choose Ghosted. Don't act like you wouldn't choose Ghosted.
As best movie of the year, or worst movie? Because Ghosted does not belong.
The bad movie you loved.
You know, I actually didn't finish Ghosted, and I never watched Your Place or Mine, so I have to go with Ant-Man.
I knew it.
You know why? Because I'm saving it for like a really down moment that I wanted to inspire myself. So the winner by the voice of our people, Your Place or Mine. So congratulations
on loving a movie that is 31% on Rotten Tomatoes and the audience score is 36. Oof. Two people who had literally no chemistry. Like, it was embarrassing. That movie's embarrassing.
It had the sexuality of a men's bathroom urinal.
You know what
honestly.
It reminded me of? Made in Manhattan. That's a horrible rom-com too. And that's how it made me feel. Now, can I share with you some of the common write-ins? And you can tell me, was it a bad movie you loved? Cocaine Bear. Cocaine Bear was not a bad movie. That was a great movie. I don't know what you're talking about. Cocaine Bear was excellent. For what it was, it didn't pretend to be something it wasn't.
Sure.
But Club 2.
Don't remember Book Club 1, you know?
No, it's just old women reading books.
Here's the deal. I feel like most people don't like book clubs in life. I don't know why they would like a movie about a book club, a thing they probably won't attend or read the book for.
80 for Brady. I did not see 80 for Brady.
Heard great things. I've heard great things, actually.
And then the Team Knox contingent came in strong with Red Notice, a movie that did not come out in 2023. But congratulations, everybody, for finally seeing movies that literally you don't even have to put pants on because they're on Netflix.
But if they watched it in this year, I don't know that we put the stipulation on that, did we?
Yes, we did. We can't. No, absolutely not. Do not encourage that. I know you loved Red Notice for how stupid it was. And listen, I watched Extraction 2 this weekend. That movie was dope. I loved it. And so I can like some bad movies. I love that movie. Like, he was, how he healed so quickly. Can someone explain that to me? How he just started pushing rocks up a hill?
Because he had the extraction juice and he drank it. Did you not see that? Maybe it was a cutscene.
I did not see that part.
It's good. Yeah, we had some other comments about movies that were not considered. At Shelby.Rudd.Jarman said TikTok live streams of the Taylor Swift concerts.
I loved them. I'm not ashamed. That Harry Styles. And I've watched live streams of Beyonce. Like, I love it. Listen, when Beyonce is screaming at those people with the stairs to get them closer to the horse so she can get down, I thought, you're all fired. Every one of you is fired when she gets off this horse.
You're going to be drawn and quartered. I just, I don't understand TikTok live streams of concerts. That is a bridge too far for me, you know?
What do you mean?
I understand Spotify and a playlist. understand being at a concert live. I don't understand watching a live stream of a concert, though. I can't make those two things compete.
How dare you? How dare you?
Sometimes you can make fun of me for Red Notice.
Sometimes we can't afford the tickets to go to Minneapolis, and we want to see what does she do in Minneapolis.
I know. This isn't about income equality. It's about I don't want to like Shelby from Dallas holding up a shaky hand at a concert. That's just not the way I'm meant to watch a thing.
Listen,
you know?
I will say there are a lot of shaky hands. You got to find the right TikToker because some of them are just like they opened a TikTok account while they were sitting in their seat at the stadium, sure. And they're like, I can do it. Y'all are not talented. Like we leave your streams on purpose.
I need angles. I need commentary maybe, but you're there to watch the show too. So just watch the show. You know, I don't understand. Speaking of live streams though, I do know we have a podcast live stream that people can partake in if they're not able to come to our live shows.
That's right.
It's very good.
That's right. And that's the only way you're going to be able to watch it. Because if anybody in the Moody Theater in Austin holds up a phone to TikTok live stream, you're going to be removed from the building. Like you're going to be removed.
Absolutely and if not. You try to throw a cell phone at our face, you will, I don't know, man.
Listen,
I just.
There was something weird. Like, that was horrible what happened to BB Rexha.
Of course.
But the guy then going, I just thought it'd be funny. God, men are the worst.
Like, that's not a good excuse. That's not a good excuse.
And the fact that you're asked about it and you're like, the best thing I can come up with is, I just thought it'd be funny if she got hit in the head.
Here, look, for doofuses who are going to do stupid stuff like wipe your butt on like a Picasso or like tape yourself to the floor of a basketball game or throw a phone at, did you say BB Rexha?
That's BB Rexha, yeah.
It's not how I was going to pronounce it. So thank you for going forward before me. I would just say if you're panicked and you know like I don't know why I did that, just say it's a commentary on late stage capitalism. And then everyone's like, oh my God, that's so good. It's terrible what you did, but it's great that you're commenting.
Listen, note for the audio, my favorite thing about recording these podcasts is if we say something weird, like BB Rexha got hit with a phone.
Yeah.
I just turn to the right and I can see Aaron Googling it. And it brings
She's like,
a lot of joy.
I want to know how she spelled BB Rexha.
Yeah. What did you like, Google to find it?
I know how to spell BB Rexha.
Yeah.
B-E-B-E-R-E-X-H-A.
That's right. She did it.
We never.
You win a podcasty for spelling.
Thank you.
What'd you Google for
BB Rexha phone.
And that was your research.
I kind of want to do a podcasty spelling bee of just pop cultural terms for people, you know, and make Aaron compete with listeners. I think
I'm ready. I would kill.
Guys, that'll be an intermission segment at the live show.
That's right. Come ready.
Write that down. We'll write that down right now. Last up, at Carmen Rensberger. A lot of E's, Carmen. There's so many E's. Why do you have that many E's? She said Bama Rush. I never watched Bama Rush.
I watched Bama Rush, and it was stupid. Listen, that documentary, I was ready. I wanted it to be juicy and filled with chaos, and it wasn't. They just didn't have access to the people they needed access to.
Then don't make it, okay?
Yeah, don't make it.
Until you have access. So that was a movie. That was not an episodic situation.
No, it was a docuseries. So I think it was I don't remember how many episodes it was, but it was more than one episode.
I mean, I think tired doing Southern college sororities.
Yeah.
Wired would be doing Southern college fraternities because things get weird and wild. Okay.
Listen, sororities are mean.
Yeah.
And fraternities are criminal. So let's get to the more interesting of the two.
If you want to see the origin story of the Southern Baptist Convention, go to some of them Southern fraternity rush weeks. Then you'll see what's up.
Are you talking about?
I don't know.
That's a thing.
Jason, maybe just keep it or bleep it or whatever. You decide, man. You know, in college in Birmingham, there was a member of shot a BB gun in the back of my Toyota and put a hole in it. And that was his name. I can't remember his name. It was Davis something. He was a real douchebag looking dude.
Not BB Rexha. Do BB guns go that hard? Like they can break glass?
I think at close enough range, probably.
My uncle got shot in the eye with a BB gun. It's not that big of a deal.
Did it mess up his eye?
I mean, for a little bit. But
what kind of range are we talking about, Aaron?
Like, how far
talking,
away were they?
Execution style? Did someone execution style your uncle's eyeball? That's crazy.
No, it was
That's
like,
Texas.
I mean, it's probably like
Listen,
25
that,
feet
that would be the better contest at a live show is who can decide how far something is from something. We would be so bad at it. We're always six feet.
I have no depth perception.
3 feet? 27 feet? We don't know.
Whenever I play golf with my father-in-law, I'll be looking for my ball, and he'd be like, did you hit a 500-foot drive? Then why are you there? Come back, please. I'm sorry. I'm bad at this. Okay, next category, TV show with the hottest cast. This was close and contentious. And I'm going to read the nominees, and you'll find out why.
Yes.
The upcoming Old Person Bachelor. So the Golden Bachelor, the Senior Bachelor, however you want to name it, that's one of the nominees. The Last of Us, but you can't count Pedro or Bella. Not allowed to count.
Why do we count them?
Because that'll make it too hot. That makes it too hot, you know? Then lastly, King Charles Coronation. Which of these three had the hottest cast?
Listen, the Golden Bachelor, the reason is because obviously the Bachelor is old, so he's like 85 maybe, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. the Bachelorettes are all in their 50s because that's
you know
how
that?
It works.
You know that for
no,
sure?
No, I don't know that for sure.
Oh, but I'm assuming that's how it is.
But they're all hot because of menopause. That's why they're hot.
If I'm a Bachelor producer, if I'm a Golden Bachelor producer and the guy is like 70, right? I am putting in a bunch of 50-year-olds. But you know what I'm definitely going to mix in there, Jamie? I'm mixing in a really hot 42-year-old because that is an element
for everybody to get mad at. Like that girl, who was the girl in the season? What did we call her? She was the baby and she like was from the West Coast and she didn't like shave any of her hair off her body.
It was Tinker Becca.
Tinker Becca.
That's right.
And they were Becca. Like, she's 12. Why did they let her in here? So, yeah, we need a Tinker Becca. Wait, could it be Tinker Becca? Could she go
she's
on the still, Golden
Bachelor? She's only 16 now. She's not aged enough
that'd
to be
really
in the season.
Good. So I would really like that.
So those were the nominees. And the winner was upcoming Old Person Bachelor.
I like that King Charles Coronation wasn't even close. Like, close.
Not enough.
You know why? Yeah. Because King Charles has gotten rid of all the cool royals, like, for the most part. And now it's just, like, Kate is carrying that thing on her back. Like, she's
Meghan Markle. They could have used Meghan Markle. This was the only thing she might have been good at.
They could have had Eugenie or the other one with the...
I think if we start doing technical difficulties music, we have to come back. This is Free Jamie, and I endorse that edit. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, that's fair. This is Free Jamie, and I endorse that edit.
There you go. See?
Yeah,
see,
I feel better. That was wrong. Yeah. See, I didn't know. When you know better, Rachel Hollis tells us you do better.
Shout out Rachel Hollis.
Thank you, Rachel.
Do you want to tell us about some other write-ins that were considered?
Yeah, so some write-ins on the votes were included hottest cast, Ted Lasso. I would say that is a hot cast for the most part. Not the leads, but like all the supporting characters, all the soccer players are pretty hot. Hannah Waddingham is pretty hot. Juno Temple, for some reason, is 28. How is she not 50? Juno Temple is so young. You know why? Because Juno Temple was talking to, who was she with, where they were talking about like growing up together in Hollywood. And I was like, Juno Temple?
Was like Wilford Brimley. And you're like, wait, what? What's going
on
here?
She's 33. Juno Temple is, there is no way she's 33.
I just, with British people, I don't know if they're super young or super old. I'm just really confused by them. And I don't get Hannah Waddingham.
Oh, I love Hannah Waddingham.
I know, but it's one of those things where it's like, everyone's like, I love Hannah Waddingham. And no one says why they love Hannah Waddingham.
Oh, I think I love her because
everywhere.
She's super tall and she's got that blondie blonde hair.
Honestly, you're giving off Hitler vibes. You're like, these are the things.
No, I don't want her to like, I don't want there to only be people who look like Hannah Waddingham.
Right.
I like diversity, but I do think she's really pretty. Yeah. It was Juno Temple and Riley Keough. Grew up together. And I was like, how is that humanly possible? But then I realized Riley Keough, I think is older than Juno Temple.
Just never going to say her last name correctly. And I've just committed my life to it. I'm like, hey.
Yes, Riley Keough is older than Juno Temple. I cannot even believe I'm able to say that sentence.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all.
That doesn't even make sense. Okay, also we had Jury Duty. Lol. That's Indy's note.
That's a hot cast. That's a hot normal cast, you know?
No, it's not. No.
It's a hot normal cast.
No, it's not a hot normal cast.
If I don't get to cast like the Aryan race, then this is a hot normal cast. You know what I mean?
Okay. Bridgerton. Now, that is a show with a very hot... Everybody in that show is hot. And then, of course, your beloved Outlander.
That's right. Okay. You caught up? You watching Outlander?
No, I watched a clip.
It's getting
very
emotional.
I read the books. I already know what happens. I read all the books. But I watched the first season, but then, you know, it ended, and it was like, ay, ay, ay. And there's a lot of trigger warnings for that show in terms of sexual assault. But
we call that first season finale a no-fly zone, you know? Just don't. Just don't watch it. You don't got to.
But listen, I will say they are very hot to be as old as they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, I like that they're like, oh, we're going to, like, and as if during the American Revolutionary War, you wouldn't age harder than that. Like,
oh, man. Yeah. I mean, and especially what Jamie, the male version of your name, that some say is more popular. He's been through some stuff. He's seen some stuff.
And they just like, we're going to fade your red hair a little bit. That's it. That's
no, and it. Just when he stands up, if you'll notice, he'll go like, ugh, and it's like, that's old person move. It's like, oh, he must be 60. He's not.
No, he's not. It's crazy.
Yeah. This might be a spicy take, but I think even for a soccer team, AFC Richmond is a very ugly cast. I think they're probably in the 99.9th percentile of hotness. Like, soccer teams in general are exceedingly hot.
Now, I will
say,
is
not a hot cast.
And I will say, soccer coaches, because the audience schooled me, because I was like, why are football coaches not cute ever? Because they're not. They're never cute.
No.
And college or professional. But like, soccer coaches are hot. Like,
they are so hot.
They're so hot.
American football coaches are never not within like a 12-hour time span of like a Ryan's Buffet bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And European soccer coaches are like cologne hot. Like they're
I'm never
going to
sit in a Cracker Barrel across from a soccer coach.
Never. Never. They
but
wouldn't
I would
ever
absolutely
get close.
Meet Nick Saban in a Cracker Barrel. Like 100%.
Yes. Yeah. Richmond, they're not even like mid. They're like high top Keds of hotness in terms of like the Premier League.
High-top
so I just want to point that out for everybody, okay?
Okay.
So some other comments we got on this category. At Lauren.McWilliams says the live footage feed of the I-95 rebuild in Philadelphia.
Listen, I watched some of that. I'm not going to apologize. I watched some of that. And they got finished ahead of schedule. And then they put all those mascots on a fire truck.
Let's go.
Rode them across. It was amazing.
It's good stuff. It's good filming. It's good cinematography. All that's really good. At Rebecca Olgerson, The Muppets Mayhem. I don't know who she's talking about specifically. It feels like Animal.
You think she's into Kermit? Because Kermit's not hot. But anytime Kermit and Miss Piggy were together, I would be like, there's no way she would degrade herself by ending up with Kermit.
I mean, I do think there's some truth to you marry Kermit, you don't date Kermit, you know? There's no, like, he's a stable influence, but you don't, like, date him. You don't have, like, fun date events.
That's fair.
Him,
I'll accept you
know?
That, yeah.
So, like, but Animal, Beaker, I can see Beaker getting a little wild and crazy, you know? Fozzie Bear. Honestly, I'm not good on my Muppets hierarchy.
Animal.
I don't know if I'm in the right, like, classification or
show. You mean
show.
Muppets versus Sesame Street? It's complicated.
Ugh, there's another one, maybe like an off-brand that I'm even considering. And then Jessica J.L. Major says Mama's Family. Mama's Family for
Listen, first of all, the fact that she is going hard in the paint for Mama's Family. Now, I loved Mama's Family, Jessica, growing up. Loved it. Didn't understand how young What's-Her-Face was that played Mama. That was
Carol,
so confusing
Carol,
to me.
Carol Burnett?
No, Carol Burnett played the aunt. Played the aunt, or played the daughter, the oldest daughter. It was the other woman that played.
That was Vicki Lawrence.
Vicki Lawrence, that's right.
Yeah.
But yeah. Now,
is she going to get dinged for, because I don't believe, I haven't checked my notes. Maybe Aaron, if you don't mind to check this, did Mama's Family come out in 2023, the first part of 2023? I don't know that it did.
Although the others
No.
Did. Yeah.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for that fact check.
Right.
I appreciate
it
that.
It came out in 1983.
Okay. Again, I mean, just 40 years later.
Jessica's catching up on all her TBWs.
I'll allow it. I'm good with it. You know, I like Chinese people. I don't think there should be Aryan races. And I welcome all people who watch TV. Those are the facts of my platform,
Why are you
people.
Making this hard on me? Why are you using my words against me?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. no time, but I do love having pretty nails. And it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their mani and pedi systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Mani system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
All right, next category, album that you made a baby to. The nominees are Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, the soundtrack.
Don't sleep on that soundtrack. It's so good.
Brown Noise app, and then old Popcast Knows episodes. Those are the nominees.
Listen, I would argue that any one of those would be amazing to birth little Atlas to. Or to conceive little Atlas or little, what did I see? I saw the name. It was on a TikTok. It was like accidentally.
Didn't you have a prediction for the year of the theme of names?
Oh, that they would be map related. And I have been correct. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Good for you for staying consistent to that. With Atlas.
I know. Bayou, well, your little baby Bayou. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So winner, who would you have picked out of that?
Listen, I will say the thing that I listen to the most when I'm in bed is the Brown Noise app. I love that. Brown Noise is so superior to white noise.
It really is. It really is.
I've been on Pink Noise. Y'all know about Pink Noise?
What's the difference with Pink Noise?
I've heard that it's supposed to be better than Brown Noise. Okay. That's what I've heard.
Aaron.
who, what streets are you on where you're hearing these rumors
that my sources tell me that pink is
now, to be fair, no one knows more about all the things you should buy and use to get to sleep than Aaron Moon.
So brown noise is bassier than pink noise.
Okay.
And so
I'm gonna listen right now. I'm a freaking
listen. Knox and I are
right
neurodivergent,
now.
So we need that bass. We need that bass.
I'm neurodi- am I?
You have ADHD.
And that's honestly.
You told the audience that you had ADHD.
But I didn't know like that meant like I'm also neurodivergent.
Are you sad or happy?
I just feel like I got a radioactive spider bite. I'm like, oh,
yeah, you're
snap.
Neurodivergent. Aaron's not neurodivergent. Well, wow. She does have a little bit of depression.
She's
nothing a little Lexapro can't take care
That's
of.
That's right. We all get our drugs that we need.
That's right.
That's right. Pink noise, just higher. Less bass.
Well, no, it so like brown noise is rougher. It's a little rougher.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And it's going to be
more
like
about that.
It's going to be like a strong wind.
Like a grittier,
it's a grittier, okay. And pink is supposed to be a little more soothing.
Oh, so which one would you have a baby to? Like conceive a baby to?
I'm not conceiving babies anymore currently. Yeah.
Well,
that's current.
Hers would be medieval book slowed down to 0.6 speed.
I do 0.7 speed.
0.7 speed.
Little Chaucer 0.6 really takes the top off of your slumber.
Hey, but listen, by the way, I am reading Stephen Fry's Greek mythology series. Have you read it?
Sick series. By the way,
so
I just finished
good.
Clytemnestra.
And did you like it?
I think you recommended that to me,
didn't
you?
Yeah, did you like it?
That's freaking awesome.
It's so freaking good.
Jamie, don't you do that.
It's
don't you
so
do that right
good.
Now. It's so good. Man, it's amazing. It's legit. Incredible.
That was History Corner. I hope you enjoyed it.
So pink noise, it does seem to be bubbly, you know, a little happier, a little more resplendent
with
joy.
I need to calm down, so I need it to be sad.
Brown feels like, let's go into a cave and hibernate for a few months and see how things are.
Yeah,
when
that's what
out.
I like.
You know
so
what I mean?
What was the winner in the podcasties?
The winner was, strangely, Vegas Gambling Odds were on Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret soundtrack.
That's a dope soundtrack. Don't sleep on that soundtrack.
An upset alert. Brown noise app.
I knew it. Well, there were some common write-ins. The first was the album that you made a baby to, Silence. No music, kid-free, single, none. Other colors of noises, white, green, and pink. What's green?
Pink is in there. Pink is in there. I just, for the people who wrote in Silence, y'all are liars. Because there's a lot of sounds associated with that process.
That's right.
That you're not.
They may not be coming from your headphones, but they're coming from your...
That's insane.
Oh, Jamie.
That's an insane thing.
Okay. Green noise emphasizes the lower frequencies, creating a more natural and soothing sound.
Might have to venture out onto the green.
The funny thing is, I'm sure the person who made all these noises, like originally, was just like, turn it down like a decibel or something, or like tweak one thing, 1%, and that's like all the different colors. There's actually never
a
difference.
It's a subset of white noise.
Yeah.
Listen, those people who put the noises on YouTube, they make a killing. They make a killing because there's an ad and you're asleep, so you don't even hear it, but they make all the money off those ads.
Aaron, would you say that white noise was their first and all these other colors are trying to take stuff from the white noise? Is that what you would say?
Who's a white supremacist now?
I don't know, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out the history around
there you
the
go.
Noises.
There you go. All right, can we talk about like floor fans versus noises? Like, I want to understand how pervasive floor fan culture is, like with both of you.
You mean a fan that's on the floor?
As opposed to hovering in the air like a...
No, fans.
Like a woodland pixie.
That would be cool to have like a sleep drone
that
would be
hovered
cool.
around you.
That would be awesome.
No, I have a ceiling fan.
That's all you use? Like no sounds on the ceiling fan?
My ceiling fan has sounds? No, I turn it on and then it makes a whoosh, whoosh, whoosh sound.
And so that's all you sleep to is the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh?
No. I have the brown noise app beside me, and then the fan is not for noise, the fan is for cooling.
Sure, of course.
It gets hot and I cannot cool the whole house. I have to use the fan.
That makes sense. Jimmy, what if I told you there was an invention that could cool you and provide brown, white noise at the
what
same time?
What is that?
It's called a floor fan. And it does go on the floor. I'm going to anticipate that question ahead of time.
But like, is it pretty?
No. I mean, yeah, you can get some from like TJ Maxx that are kind of chill and cool or Home Goods.
Oh my God. You bought a floor fan for TJ Maxx?
Yeah. Well, and my daughter stole it. So now I'm back to like the regular square, you know, missionary fan. Aaron, do you not use a floor fan?
No.
Do you travel with a fan, Knox? rocks? Like, do First of all, don't love the energy
which you answer that question, Aaron.
No, I'm sorry. I'm trying to learn about the colors of sound, and this
you sound like Indiana Jones trying to explain an artifact to someone in his stupid class. Okay.
Well, God, the fact that she is researching fans while also wearing multicolored Crocs is the most.
I walked out with the wrong shoes this morning.
I've never seen you wear Crocs in my whole life.
These are my mailbox shoes, and I accidentally wore them to work today.
Can I guess the color? Because I haven't seen them.
Okay, yeah.
So we've got
You're not ready.
Do we have two different colors or do we have two different multicolors?
More. They're all the colors. Oh, like,
man. I don't know that I can guess
this. No one was supposed to see me today.
What? No one was supposed to see you when you literally come to the office?
I wasn't supposed to have my shoes noticed today.
Did you go to the food hall?
Well, yeah, but I don't.
You told us that you finger gunned that guy.
Did you talk to anybody?
I talked to a gentleman today.
What did you talk to him about?
About LSU baseball.
Because you're into it now?
Yes.
We'll get there.
We'll get there, yeah.
I just.
I will say they're pretty faded. You can tell they're mailbox shoes.
So, Aaron, Ed brought me through. Like, you got out the door and you were like, crap, got my mailbox Crocs.
I thought the dog was lost this morning.
Okay. Okay.
And so I
went out. That dog tries to escape that family every week.
I went outside and he was gone and I didn't know where he was. And so I was walking around looking for him and I was updating Nextdoor.
Sure.
Hey, if y'all see the dog. And then,
oh, snap. You were an active poster on Nextdoor?
Yes.
This is breaking news. This is so exciting.
And then I found him.
Yeah. Where was he?
Was he in your house? He was in Holland's room.
Nah, that's tough. Do you have to go back to Nextdoor?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you admit this on Nextdoor? Like
well,
a freaking idiot?
I just took it down. I just took it down. And so I was flustered, and then I forgot my water, and then I just got in the car.
The funny thing is, they do match what you're wearing. They look fine. Yeah,
they're dirty, but
I can't see them. But honestly, that sounds worse because it's like, oh, she meant to do this. She gathered this ensemble with intentionality.
They're tie-dyed Crocs. They're tie-dyed.
Got the hippie vibe. I love it for a Monday. It's good energy. So good. Listen, I'm a big floor fan person. I love floor fans. I've always slept with floor fans.
Do you travel with it?
My dad travels with a fan.
Oh. I do.
He travels with a fan.
When we went to St. Louis for Tyler Childers, so we go to the concert, we have a late dinner, and we're finally going to rooms like 2 or 3 a.m., and I have to go back to the car to get the floor fan. Right? Like to bring
so
to
three
the
in the morning, you're in a parking lot holding a floor fan.
I'm walking through the parking
lot. In St. Louis.
That's right. And walking through a casino. And I get to the lobby and I would say young lady, but she's ancient. And a lady with an oxygen tank and the mask on a scooter holding a cocktail.
Yeah.
Looks at me and like scoffs. She's like,
she judges me.
And she's on her way to gamble and probably not win. And that's, I was like,
yeah, but she's
am I the outlier here?
Not wandering around a casino with a floor fan.
But you know what? I went up there and I slept like a baby with that thing. A baby with that floor fan. It was glorious.
Does Ashley have her own floor fan or do you share the floor fan? Or does she be like, that's not my life?
Yeah, we just one floor fan for a room.
Is it a tall fan? It's a tall fan?
Or is it like a box fan?
Yeah, box fan.
Oh, it's a box fan?
Why do you call it a floor fan?
I mean, just because
it's on the floor,
it's a fan that's on the floor. So it feels like a really reasonable place to get to with the vocabulary.
Even though I said I had a ceiling fan and you were like, that's simple.
No. I was asking about your sound situation and you started educating me on how you don't want to pay for air conditioning. So I was just confused a little bit.
Listen, it's getting 114 degrees this week. I can't live like this.
It's tough. It's not great. The utility bill is getting out there, you know, getting a little out of hand. Well, this didn't really shed any light for me. So this was more confusing, I think, than anything.
What album you made in Baby 2? So yours would be Floor Fan.
Yeah, it's not an album. It's just in life. You know, I live life out loud.
Got it.
Beth at Bits, at Bitsy Ross. Beth at Bitsy Ross. It's Betsy. Do you get it?
I do get it.
I don't think she actually made the flag. I think that's an urban legend, but we've already done one History Corner, and I don't think you'll survive another one, Jamie. She said Weather Channel Radio on Spotify. That's wild.
I didn't even know Weather Channel had a radio on Spotify. Is Jim Cramer on that? Like, you're going to have a baby Jim Cramer?
Has money takes, Jamie. That's insane. That's mad money with Jimmy Cramer.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wait. That's right. Who's the guy? Who's the weatherman?
Who do you think it is?
He goes to the hurricanes and he always almost dies. Al Roker.
He's always getting rained on.
Jim Cantore. I knew I'd get there.
What if we did a Freaky Friday where Jim Cantore goes on Mad Money and Jim Cramer goes
to
Weather Spots.
Jim Cantore talk about his investment strategy. I would like that.
I don't think you'd lose much with either. You know, I feel like
That's
it'd be
fair.
The same. Elizabeth, parentheses, Miss Bessie Bakes, says, my dog breathing heavily by her bed.
That's Erin when she's like, where's the dog? And it's it's next to you.
Is the dog frequently in Holland's room or is this a weird rando event?
No, so the dog doesn't like being in our house because the dog hates us.
Listen, that's great. True. I went to her birthday party. And I was like, where's the dog? And the dog was 80 feet, 100 yards, I don't know.
Far away.
100 yards away, just staring at the deck for 4 hours straight.
Wow. Hates us. You adopted the Unabomber dog.
No,
and he just don't want to be there.
He really hates us. But we try. We try really hard. But he does like being in Holland and Marlo's rooms.
Okay.
And so sometimes they will get him to go into their rooms to sleep.
Lure him with treats or something.
With treats. And if it's we had a little bit of a storm last night, and so they cajoled him inside. And so that's where he was.
That makes more sense.
Night.
That makes more sense. A little bit of random event. So. I think a lot of people wish animals and pets could talk, but do you really, after the things they've seen, you do?
Oh,
you know? Is that
absolutely.
Really something you want?
No.
Probably not.
I think he'd just be like, I effing hate you guys. And if you really loved me, you'd set me free.
Please, please give me my freedom.
Yeah.
Kyla at Kyla Whetstone says the Farmville soundtrack worked one time. So that's something. I've got in my notes here, it says pause for Jamie to make a joke about plowing a garden. So would you like to?
Oh, that's so good.
Would you like to do that?
About your flower. You took your flower, cherry. Right?
Got it. Cherries and flowers. Yep. Josie. At Josie J. Timms or Thames. I'm going to say Timms and feel fancy like a rich person.
Yeah, like go Timms.
They say, the College World Series, please don't ask me which teams because I do not actually watch baseball. Obviously, I love the College World Series. I've been to Omaha many, many times to watch the College World Series. Erin, I heard a rumor that maybe you're into the College World Series now?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of baseball now.
Listen, as a reminder, Erin follow sports. If she sits with you long enough and you love a sport, she will get on board with it.
Yeah, I went to North Carolina with Sophie Hudson and Melanie Schenkel.
They love baseball.
And they love baseball, and it just straight up rubbed off on me. We had a great time.
Which is interesting because neither of their teams made it.
That's right.
Yeah,
but it's right now, tonight is the finals.
That's right.
Against LSU and Florida.
That's right.
You're rooting
all SEC
for?
Affair.
I'm rooting for LSU.
Why specifically? Because your reasoning is all that matters to me in understanding your fandom right now.
Well, I watched them play Wake Forest, and I liked their moxie. I liked their joie de vivre. They seem to have a lot of kind of chutzpah.
Yeah.
So plus they look like they are all long haul truckers, which I appreciate. Not one of them looks like they're in college. They all look like they're 42
they
years
do.
Old.
Why do baseball it's players always look really
fascinating?
Old?
And let me tell you something about Sophie Hudson. Knox, you might actually be really interested in this. Sophie Hudson is a prophetess when it comes to sports. She twice said at one point, I think Cooper's ready to strike some people out. And I'll be darned if the next, I mean,
let me just recap. So she predicted that a pitcher might strike out some
players. No. This is after, no, you are belittling a gift from the Lord that
I
saw.
I know Sophie is gifted. I know. I just don't think that if you say it, I think one of these batters will hit the ball. I just don't know that that's an impressive prophecy.
I'm talking about we're pitchers were striking people out, and then she was like, I feel a home run coming on, and I'll be darned.
Okay, now that's more impressive.
Beloso did not knock it into the stadium.
Jamie's saying if you have a belief system built around vague projections that aren't really relevant to anything, that's ridiculous, right?
Tell me Coop's full name.
Cooper, I don't know, but his full last name.
Erin, what you
Cooper.
Told me earlier was Riley Cooper. You said it was Riley Cooper. Is that
How
still what you thought?
How dare you? Don't help her.
I think it is.
I think it is.
I know Cade Beloso.
Yeah.
Okay. I know Tommy White.
Tommy White,
who's great.
Let me ask the bigger question. Would you rather, if you had to move from Birmingham and you could not go back to Texas?
Okay.
But you could go live in either Baton Rouge or Gainesville, Florida. Where would you go live?
I'm definitely choosing Baton Rouge.
That's a mistake.
Unless yes, I can go to live in the backyard of. Strike that from the record.
No,
please
not
strike that from the record.
All right, so Jason, give me those technical difficulties music.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And would,
Aaron, can I get a, my name is Aaron Moon and I endorse that edit.
My name is Aaron Moon and I fully, wholeheartedly, full-throatedly endorse.
Ew, I don't like full-throatedly.
Okay, I just endorse, I endorse that edit.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That.
Look, I think, if the SEC network is interested in better ratings, they would toss Sophie and Melanie on a game and let them call it.
You're absolutely
right. And I think it would
right.
be so much better,
you
honestly.
It was wonderful. We had the best time.
No, they would be a good time. They would be more fun than anybody I've ever heard.
Because all these old men do, which by the way, these old men, someone needs to talk to them about their pants.
What do you
or
mean?
They need to like raise the camera just a little bit so I don't have to look at the outline. A
lot of moose knuckles. A lot of moose knuckles.
My gosh. It's yeah. just so much.
It's like moose knuckles for miles. It's like white lotus out there.
It is really yeah. intense. But listen, all they say are the same things over and over again. You wouldn't believe the color commentary that I was privy to. It was incredible. They're weaving a tapestry.
But Aaron, your thesis is correct. LSU is the team to root for because they are all built like beer league softball players.
It's incredible.
While Florida, their entire team looks like villains from Outer Banks.
Yes.
Any villain from the Outer Banks, this is what a Florida baseball player looks like.
I got YouTube TV so I can watch the game tonight.
Look at you. Look at
I
you.
I thought you had YouTube TV.
She
I thought
does.
I did too, but I don't.
You do.
I do?
I think we pay for it every month. So you need to find that login.
Okay, well, I'm going to delete that one and I'll find the login. Anyway,
I'm excited. Give it to your dog and give him like his channel and maybe he'll want to
stay. Maybe he'll want to stay. Bear, stay with us.
All right, next category, book that you're embarrassed that you read. The nominees are Spare, The Trump Indictment, and The Office BFFs. Jamie, which would you have picked out of those?
I probably would have picked The Trump Indictment because that's really long. And Jack Smith is not hot enough for me to care about like reading that indictment. Plus, Aaron came to my house last week, and because I couldn't take my big boxes out to the street because it was going to rain and my neighbors get, she came out of the bathroom and she goes, hey, you got some secret documents in that shower? Because that's where all my boxes were hidden.
Oh, nice. Is it like in
that.
A like a guest shower? Like, are you,
yeah,
or
in
you
a guest
just
shower.
Don't
yeah.
use the shower ever?
No, they don't use, but that people are coming this weekend, so I do have to get those boxes out.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. I just don't think anybody ever finished the Trump indictment because it just seems like a lot of boring stuff to read through. So Spare makes a lot of sense, and it did actually win.
Spare won. Yeah. Look, I will say I read Spare, and I thought the middle was not as good as the bookends, like the beginning and the end.
If he had had more, and we talk about this in The More You Know, if he had more takes on like podcasts he would have done, which we talked about,
maybe
I would have read the book, but he didn't.
And
so I didn't.
We revealed how that whole Spotify situation, that Knox called it, a year in advance.
Did I?
I've
allegedly. I have no idea.
We played the tape in The More You Know.
Oh, great. Okay. Okay.
So some common write-ins for book that you're embarrassed you read, 50 Shades of Grey, which was mentioned many times. Don't be ashamed. Like, you're reading fan fiction.
Just embrace it. Come on,
go. Just embrace it. A Court of Thorn and Roses series. That's a fair one. And then Open Book by Jessica Simpson. How dare you? I greenlit that book. That's an excellent memoir. One of the, I would put it in the top 10 of celebrity memoirs of all time. That's how good it is.
What percentage of that do you think she wrote herself?
Oh, she highlights her ghostwriter. Like, she talked about her ghostwriter.
No, I have no idea. So is it like she just full on knows?
No, I think she just met with him and talked to him, and he kept a recorder and then he wrote it. Like, I don't think she wrote it. And then Colleen Hoover. Listen, Colleen Hoover causes a lot of controversy, but listen, I asked a bookseller last week how they felt about Colleen Hoover, and the bookseller said, love Colleen Hoover. Like, that's how we pay our mortgage for this building.
So, Coho might have saved the publishing industry. So
100%.
No shade.
Yeah,
no 100%.
Shade. Yeah.
I think the popularity of audiobooks, especially with some of these spicier stories and books, has led to so many more women listening to the spiciest scenes all around us than we're prepared to understand. Like, that's happening everywhere.
No,
you know,
I agree.
You just think you're at a Kroger and the woman next to you is getting to second base by herself, you know, so you just got to watch out.
Listen, getting to second base by yourself is how you get there quick.
It's called a double. You know, it's just called
a
double.
Thank you.
Other comments, Jen at Easy to Be Jen says, more embarrassed to admit that I don't read. I just don't read.
Listen, I love a Jen that's like, I had to write this in a survey that I had to read.
Yeah.
But this is the only thing I've read this week is this newsletter note for the audio.
I'm impressed. I'm grateful. And I don't know if it's, is it more impressive to be like, I'm agnostic about reading or like I'm atheistic about reading? Like, I'm just not going to do that.
No, ever. I think when you're like, because it's different than like if you say, I don't watch TV, because those are usually readers who say S-word like that. Like, they're like, oh, TV? Oh. Listen, there's some bad books. Don't pretend like there ain't bad books and that you're not reading some of them. But I like a person who's like, what? I don't read. Like, I like that. I like the confidence.
I'm impressed by that person because it's like, it's such a, it feels like such a chud thing to say.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to embrace that, like, kudos to you.
100%.
You know, good job.
Good for you, Jim.
Sarah at Suburban Grace says, multiple books by bachelor/bachelorette contestants.
That's humiliating.
We don't yuck yums here. This is the closest I've ever come to violating that.
Did you read Sean Lowe's book? No, I did. It was not good.
I'm not judging you, Sarah. I just check our green lights. We have a lot of good recommendations.
Sarah, if you read Maddie Prude's new book, I will come to your house and take it out of your hands and burn it in your front yard for all your neighbors to see. Don't do that.
Don't. Jeannie at Miss Reed 118 says, the manual that came with my new car, what a boomer move. That's just functional, man. That's good stuff.
She read the manual. Now, listen, I will say, sometimes when lights come on, I'm like, I don't know what this is. This is not great. I don't know what this means. And
there's
I have
a YouTube
to read
video
my manual.
For that.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That when the guy at the dealership's like, do you want to explain how this works? I'm like, never, never. I don't care if it'll fly me to space. I'll figure it out if I want to. And then Patty, chicken soup for the cat lover's soul. Okay. Chicken soup for the cat lover's soul.
You know, I saw a book this weekend that I didn't know existed, but it really does exist. It's called Finding Purpose Through Pet Loss.
Okay.
It's like when your pet dies that you found purpose.
It's the ultimate grief spin zone. You know, so your cat died, but here's how you're a better person.
But now, yeah, exactly. This is how you can make some money by finding a side gig now that Twinkles is dead.
You can monetize that. Yeah. So embrace your game, Patty. Like, that's what I'm about to start Inferno by Max Hastings, like the 15 billionth book I've read about World War II. It's just who I am, you know? I'm not, no shade about that. I'm doing it, whatever. And then Mackenzie, at Mackenzie Kappa says, I'm an Enneagram 3. I personally don't read books that would embarrass me in Goodreads. This is a peak Enneagram 3 revelation, it feels like. You know?
So she doesn't have negative, like, so she doesn't give a book 2 stars or 1 star in Goodreads and be like, what?
Oh, I think it's more like, I wouldn't read 50 Shades of Grey. I wouldn't say in Goodreads I read 50 Shades
of Grey. Oh, that's fair. No, I agree with that. Sometimes I get nervous about putting a book, although literally I have no followers and no friends, nor do I want any. So don't request because I will deny you. Because I just use it as a journal to keep track of what I've read. But I don't want to have you coming in and being like, why'd you only give All Things Reconsidered 4 stars when you wrote it, co-wrote it? I didn't. I gave it 5 stars.
Come on, y'all. Come on. Okay, last category. Celebrity that you're surprised is your hall pass. This was a very revealing vote.
Because as a reminder, a hall pass is not a season pass. A hall pass is someone you would cheat on your lover with to have sexual relations with.
That's right. Then season pass is just someone that you consume all their stuff. You watch their movies. You watch their shows, whatever, whatever. So the nominees are Chinese Spy Balloon, Chad GPT, and 2024 presidential candidates not named Joe or Donald. So, Jamie, what would you have voted if this was you?
I would have voted for sure not ChatGPT. Chad, get out of here.
Yeah.
I would vote for presidential candidates not named Joe. What that Mike Pence do? What that Mike Pence do?
Wow. That's the first time those words have ever been spoken together.
It feels like
sentence.
For her to go be okay with him calling her mother, it feels like he knows what he's doing. Do you know what I mean?
What if it's not like a quaint domesticity? What if it's kind of freaky? What if it's kind of kinky?
That's exactly
have people consider that?
That's exactly what I'm looking for. What would you
know.
Pick?
I would have gone Chinese Spy Balloon, probably, just because I'll stock up on Chinese Spy Balloon.
Yeah.
But the actual winner is ChatGPT. Congratulations, ChatGPT.
Listen, congratulations, Chad, even though you're the worst and you don't know how to look at, you know, you're not good at stuff. Listen, the common write-ins were here, just quickly, Aaron. Quickly, I'm going to go through these write-ins. You say yes or no to a hall pass for them.
Okay.
Jason Segel.
No.
Stanley Tucci.
Yes.
Ted Lasso characters.
No.
None of them?
No.
No. Emily Heinhold wrote the old long-haired reporter from Ted Lasso.
Trent
Actually,
Graham.
Yes.
Show him
yes.
some respect. Ted,
Trent Graham. The houseboat on Ted Lasso.
No.
No. Orcas.
No.
No?
No. Too dangerous.
What about yacht flipping specifically? Yacht flipping orcas.
Again, too dangerous.
Too dangerous, but listen, we're going to have a rowdy good time taking down some yachts. That seems like
according to my calculations...
Would you like to clip that and then say, hi, my name is Dr. Coy. I approve that.
I approve this edit.
Listen, I approve all edits, but... My name is Knox McCoy, and I approve this edit. I'm surprised Roy Kent didn't make the list with Aaron. I'm surprised that she didn't.
No, it feels like he's not. Even though he tried, I just feel like he's too grouchy. Look, and sometimes we got to come off of that.
Roy Kent is like the biggest paper tiger tough guy that I've ever seen since like Danny Zuko from Grease. Both are like, okay, guys, we get it. You're supposed to be, quote, tough, but you're not. Other comments we got. Catherine at cats_and.dogs. Need some work. Catherine, you know it. I'm not telling you something you don't know.
Wait, here's the thing. Does that mean that there was already a cats and dogs and she had a cats with a K, by the way. Cats. And then she had to add an underscore and a period.
There's too much happening. Okay, so let's work on that and come circle back. She says Domino's Pizza. I don't understand what happened.
Oh my gosh,
here.
Listen, Domino's Pizza has the best cheesy bread of all the pizzas.
Really?
The cheesy bread is next level. You don't get a pizza from Domino's, you get that cheesy bread. Or wait, is that Little Caesars? I get it mixed up.
Wow, that's a magnificent pizza faux pas, if that's true.
God,
my brother-in-law told me, do you know the pretzel bread pizza at Little Caesars right now that they have? There's like cheese in that. It's like stuffed, but they didn't tell you that?
It is Little Caesars because they're red, white, and blue like America, and Domino's is orange like the Home Depot. And I don't
What
like
are
that.
You talking about?
The boxes are red, white, and blue at Little Caesars, which doesn't...
No, Little Caesars is orange.
God, Jamie, this is your out of touch. Yes. This is your out of touch, bougie Jamie. I don't know what...
I get pizza from Post Office Pies locally. I know.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible.
My bad.
Karen at Karen Chase says, Harrison Ford with an earring.
Karen.
Come on, Karen.
God.
I appreciate your honesty.
Haley, I like that you think the hall pass is going to work out. There better be pills involved.
lots of pills and a life alert. Haley-K, HK underscore celebrates, says any air of Jason Alexander. I don't know. There's something about a curmudgeonly New Yorker that really gets me going. Emoji with hands up.
I will say of the Seinfeld cast, he is who I would start with.
That's a tough roster. Margo at Margoldill says Owen Wilson's nose. Oh, wow. Kelly, Kelly 37299. A lot of numbers, Kelly. Axl Rose.
That's her zip code. You know that's her zip code, probably.
Probably is. Kelly, you trying to get your identity stolen? Come on. Like, let's do better. Then lastly, Sarah at the Cole Ma'am. I like that. Says Fart Daddy. Fart Daddy.
Listen, Fart Daddy could probably get it. Do you know what I mean?
Allegedly. We don't know. We just don't know.
Okay.
Okay. That's our conversation about
congratulations to all our Popcasty winners.
That's right. Thank you for everybody who
don't
voted.
Forget
and
to thank God. Don't forget to thank God.
God first above all things. And if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. KnoxJamie.com/511. Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the Brushed Rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
Okay, my red light this week is men. Now, I am not saying all men, but I am saying always at least one man, right? Because you know what women don't do? They don't try to go to the bottom of the ocean in a Stanley Cup. They don't challenge other billionaires to cage fights. They don't incite armed rebellions against fascist dictators who are also men. Women also won't ask you to sleep with a thermostat on 83 to conserve energy because they wanted Texas utilities to not be regulated. These are not women doing these things, but they are always at least one man. So that's my red light this week. How dare Greg Abbott even suggest that y'all sleep at 83 degrees to conserve energy for the rest of the state?
Listen, he's done a lot of nasty things with guns and immigrants and stuff, but trying to get people to sleep at 83 degrees, that's probably going to get them overturned.
You know what I would have said? I'd be like, you need to send me a picture of your thermostat in that governor's mansion so that I know that you're doing it first, because there's no way he's sleeping like that. Listen, and if you're somebody who organically sleeps with the temperature in the 80s, who hurt you? Why? Yeah. Why is your life that way? Like,
you know, you can sleep with it set on 83 and still be cool through the innovation of the floor fan. Actually, not actually a sponsor. My red light this week is the writer's strike. And it's not because I don't support it. I obviously support the writer's strike.
Yes.
It's just, I feel like we're at an impasse. We're starting to maybe lose the narrative on what this is all about. And I think there's some peripheral elements that aren't inspiring confidence. Like the picket signs that I've seen aren't very clever. You know, I feel like at a base level, we have to have like really tight, really hilarious picket signs. Okay. Not seeing that. You're getting stuff like Dermot Mulroney or Mulrooney, whatever, from the Family Stone, walking off the View symbolically to honor the writers, but he still did the interview and he still like has pictures with the hosts. I don't understand what's going on there. So I don't understand what the purpose of that is. And you're doing podcast interviews about how studios won't swear off AI and how they want smaller and smaller writer rooms. These are all pertinent issues, but these do not appeal to the average person. So I think what I'm saying is you have a messaging problem. Okay. We're all naturally rooting for the writers because the writers are the people that make the thing. Everyone else needs the writers first to do their jobs. And studios and executives and suits are always looking for ways to cut writers out of the profits they deserve. So I feel like we've got to reassess here. Okay.
Yeah.
So my suggestion is I want writers to start like a resistance podcast, resistance TV show, you know, and they each episode, they discuss the terrible notes that studios have given them on projects. Okay. Because I don't think we understand the importance of writers until we see how bad it could be. There's an interview with Barry Jenkins where he said that one of the notes he got from a studio exec on Moonlight was that it's good, but where's all the white people? Okay. So Moonlight, but with like Billy Bob Thornton
as the Mahershala Ali. Was that Taylor Sheridan who said that?
Could have been. Who knows? Who knows? But I think that's an episode. Damien Chazelle, he said he got a note from an executive that said Whiplash was good, but there's a little too much drumming. Not sure what that's about, which is the premise of the movie. So what if you had Whiplash, but without the drumming? Would that be good? This is why you need writers. And then Todd Black, he made the most recent Magnificent Seven remake, which is a Western. Okay.
Right.
And the studio asked him why there are so many cowboy hats and do they really need all the facial hair? Okay. So imagine the Magnificent Seven with Denzel and Chris Pratt and they're all wearing fedoras, right?
Or
these are the things we could
do. What if they were all wearing Crocs? How would
Crocs,
that feel?
Multicolored exactly. Mailbox Crocs. And they're looking for their dogs and they end up in a shootout at the OK Corral. That's what you could be getting, dummies.
That's
this
right.
is why you need to support the writers. So I just think writers, let's be more ambitious. Let's be creative. Let's come up with some really clever ways to show everyone why we need to form some momentum around the writers.
That's
strike.
A good red light.
Green. What's your green light this week, Jamie?
Okay, I have two. So the first one is I want to re-up. We've already, both Knox and I have greenlit the TV show The Bear on Hulu. I'm re-upping it, The Bear season 2. I binged it this weekend. As a reminder, The Bear is about a young chef from the fine dining world who comes home to Chicago to run his family's sandwich shop after a heartbreaking death in their family. Listen, I thought, can season 2 be as good or better than season 1? And I just didn't think that was going to be possible. And I think it's better. They leaned in, these are no spoilers, they leaned into bottle episodes, which I freaking love a bottle episode. And I also didn't know any of the cameos. Like, I stayed pretty blind. And it helps that I was able to binge it really fast. I didn't know any of the cameos. So every time somebody would pop up, I'd be like, what? What? It's so good. I love the character development. I love the flashbacks. I love that you can root for every character despite them making really dumb mistakes. Episode 6 of season 2 was maybe my favorite bottle episode of any show of all time until I watched episode 7. And it was even better. And it ruined my life. And I loved it so much. And The Bear season 2 is now my entire personality. I immediately ordered a Yes Chef apron. Like, that's all I think about all the time is The Bear season 2. It's so good. And, you know, when we originally greenlit it, we said maybe it's not for people who don't like constant conflict because there is a lot of conflict in the show. I stand by that recommendation, but I have had a lot of Enneagram 9s reach out that say they enjoy watching it because they like watching people scream at other people and then they stay friends or stay family members.
Cathartic.
It's very cathartic for them. So if you need fictional therapy on how to handle conflict, this is a perfect show for that. And then my second green light is the book Yellow Face by R.F. Kuang. Holy moly, this book. Okay. So this book is about two college sort of friends, June and Athena. They go to college together. They both want to be writers. Athena debuts the same year that June debuts. Athena becomes a literary star, and June doesn't even get a paperback release of her book, okay? And then Athena, this is not a spoiler because this is on the back of the book, Athena dies in a freak accident. Actually, she dies in a freak accident the same way that I know I will one day die. I know that they're identical. June decides to steal Athena's unfinished manuscript, but there's a problem. The book is an experimental novel about the unsung contributions of Chinese laborers to the British and French war efforts during World War I. Well, the problem is June is white and Athena was Asian. So June becomes Juniper, takes an ambiguously ethnic author photo, and we're off to the races. Like, how will it unfold? And why I love this book is one, it's a first person POV, which I really love a first person POV, especially when the first person is a villain. And that is June. June is a great villain. You love to hate her and you so desperately want her comeuppance. And then there's lots of shade at the publishing industry, which you know I'm always on board with. And there's a lot of sharp, dark humor writing. And it is an excellent book. So it is a great addition to your summer reading pile.
Just on The Bear season 2, I'm 4 episodes in.
Oh my gosh, you're almost there. You're
but I've, almost to 6. I was trying to make it last night, but I was like, no, I'm going to be tired and I don't want to watch this tired. I just want to enjoy it. But you're exactly right. Everything he says is right. And I would say, I think the bottle episode-ness of the season is really taking the top off of that conflict in a good way. So it still has it and there's tension and conflict and stress, but not anything like the first season, which I don't remember which episode of the first season was that one take with everything going wrong that could go wrong, which was the high stress I felt in my life. But it's just, It's like unlike anything else that's on
TV.
That's
what's amazing. To me, I say the Bear is like Succession if there were people to root for. Because you really do, like, you're like, oh, these are like more normals and they're just trying their best. And you get a lot of their background, which you did not get in the first season because it was really about what was happening in the restaurant. So the fact that they leave the restaurant a lot in the season does not take away from what's happening in the restaurant. It was so good. It's
yeah.
So good.
You know, I wrote about this on the newsletter a couple weeks ago, but when we were talking about Steel Magnolias, which we did for Cinema Side Piece for people who support us. But Steel Magnolias has such a great sense of place, you know, and a really good texture of like locality. That's what the Bear is. They spend so much time establishing, even when they're not in Chicago, they do such a great time of just being like, here's Copenhagen. Do you have the vibe yet? Here's more Copenhagen.
And oh, the Copenhagen episode. So Rami Youssef directed that episode.
That's right. It's so well done. So my green light for this week is No Hard Feelings, the Jennifer Lawrence. It's been called a raunchy comedy. Kind of it is. There is there's some full-on fronty nudity by old Jennifer Lawrence in a way that I was like, whoa, it felt like AI, or I didn't understand why like a major star would agree to like a full-on nude scene, but she did. But the context is pretty hilarious.
Listen, she's like, my body's dope. Let's go.
Listen, and she's great in it. I think we talked about this in the lead up of being really excited for her, hoping this works because A, it's a non-IP piece of feature, you know, so it's not like based on the stories of the Ant-Man comics during the 70s and Watergate. This is just a comedy and we don't get these a lot. So I really wanted it to do well. And I really wanted her to do well because this seems like such a risk for her to do just a random comedy. And she's this huge star and I wanted it to pay off. She's incredible in it. She's so funny. You know, is this like the hottest comedy, the coolest comedy that's ever come out? Probably not. You know, on Rotten Tomatoes, the aggregate is like, I think it's 68 critics, like 88 audience. I think low 70s is probably where it deserves to be, you know? It's a tight, freaking tight hour 43, which I love. Thank you, God. I'm so happy about that. But it's the best comedies lead with the humor, but they sneak in some heart in there. And this one does that as well. But a really great supporting cast. I was pleasantly surprised with some of the writing and some of the directorial choices in Andrew Barth Feldman, who plays Percy, the guy she's Jennifer Lawrence's opposite. He's really, really compelling in this as well.
Listen, and my favorite fun fact about him that I saw is that Andrew Barth Feldman, this was the first rated R movie he'd ever seen. Is the one he's in. Yeah.
Okay, good for
How
him.
How cute is that? That's good so for cute. Him.
But yeah, there's, for me, like the hallmark of a great comedy aren't like the huge vivid set pieces. It's like some of the throwaway stuff that you'll miss if you blink. And this movie is full of those, of just like moments where you're like, what? And it keeps moving. So I think if you like independent movies, not independent movies, just movies that are not like big IP or sequels, please go watch this movie and support it so we get more like
that's
it.
Right.
So, okay, that is going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you're doing shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcastfirst. So you purchase zero affiliate link for item purchase using that link. This week was, Jamie, this is a pack of Franklin Sports ping pong balls.
So these are ping pong balls that they have 4,000 ratings and it's 4.6 stars. People freaking love these ping pongs. Now, here's what I will say. I read everything about these ping pongs in the About This Item. You know, the official size, the durability, high visibility, perfect for practice or competition. But let me tell you what these one-star reviews are all about. Freaking do not glow in the dark. And so I don't know what these people anticipated. I don't know if ping pong balls are supposed to organically glow in the dark, but my favorite review came from B. Mason, whose title of the review, this one-star review, is "They Bounce Only." Fortunately, I needed ping pong balls. Otherwise, these balls suck on all 8 cylinders. I don't know what that means. And he's like, maybe my cat can see them at night, but if you're a human, you're in the dark. Oh my gosh. Is this
what's the need for glow-in-the-dark ping pong balls? Also, if we're going to criticize them, I'd say these balls suck balls. That's the
yeah, it's right there. Know? It's like right there. All right, you guys. Don't forget, it is a great time to follow us on social media because we're giving away all summer long, every week, fun prizes as we're celebrating 10 years of the podcast. Also, live stream and in-person tickets. Do you want to see Aaron on stage Googling live while in Crocs? While we have a live show, she'll be there. So again, go to knoxandjamie.com/live. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.